Welcome to When Mothers Lead, a podcast created by Motherful, a soulful grassroots collective of single mothers. I'm Heidi.
And I'm Lisa.
And we will discuss how you can be a part of this movement and what the world will look like when mothers lead.
I see the mothers marching. I hear the mothers singing. I feel the mothers grieving. I see the mothers leading.
Welcome to When Mothers Lead, a podcast sponsored by Motherful. My name is Heidi House.
And I'm Lisa Woodward.
Yes.
And we are co-founders.
Are co-founders of Motherful, co-directors of Motherful. And we are excited today to have our good friend and comrade and mentor, Aramis Sundiata. Aramis Sundiata of People's Justice Project here in Ohio. And I'm just going to do a welcome, Aramis. Thank you for being here and joining us and sharing yourself today. We know your time is valuable, so we are super blessed to have you with us. I just want to go ahead.
Oh, no, asking.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you. So I'm going to go ahead and start off with just sharing about Aramis. Aramis Sundiata is the founder and executive director of PJP, People's Justice Project, with almost a decade's experience of building organizations, grassroots organizing, and leading large-scale campaigns. Aramis brings a deep understanding of global social movements and has a unique outlook on how to build power in Ohio. And I also want to share a little bit about the history of People's Justice Project. And of course, going to have Aramis speak on it more. But according to your website, the People's Justice Project, during the quote unquote hot phase of the Black Lives Matter movement in 2014, when Black people were engaged in spontaneous revolt over the countless assassinations of Eric Garner, Mike Brown, John Crawford, and Tamir Rice, created favorable conditions to accelerate the dynamics of political life for the African Black working class. In analyzing the national conditions which gave birth to Black Lives Matter, the People's Justice Project reinforced and insisted on building an organization to house the energy of the African masses in Ohio in a revolutionary trajectory. People's Justice Project became a mass or popular political organization seeking to answer the ideological, philosophical, and class question from the Black Revolution of the 60s. PJP is a political organization that organizes the Black working class and other oppressed peoples, leading the struggle against all state institutions that oppress or occupy our communities, whose survival has been assured time and time again by linking our struggle to the struggle of the African working class and all oppressed people. Yes.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Pissed off.
Yes. We love it. We love it. Welcome, Aramis. Thank you. Thank you for your powerful leadership with a PJP and everything you're doing. And
it's so embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing. It's awesome.
I don't know half the things that is out there. So I just think it's very embarrassing. What the
hell? That's your website. That's your website. We love you. We love you. So welcome, Aramis, to the show. I wanted to start out today after your intro, it's just like kind of sharing how we met and how we came into being mentored by you. So I don't know if you remember, Aramis, that we met at like the Roosevelt coffee shop here in Columbus, I think it was.
It was
$2. Okay, $2
radio. Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'd reached out to you and I was, this was in 2018, maybe early 2018. And Lisa and I were, we were gearing up to kind of start the organization Motherful. And I really didn't know technically the first thing about organizing. And actually you're the one that I think introduced me to the word in our conversation at the coffee shop. I remember you had a piece of paper and you wrote down the word organize.
Yeah.
And I was talking to you about how I wanted to do this thing with single moms, and you broke it down for me. And I don't know if you have any memory of that conversation.
Oh, I do. You know, I do. You know, the thing about the idea of motherful, or like, you know, when you came, it's always a question of like the first phase is always the idea. It's like, how do I do this thing? And then when you said it, I was like, hell yeah. Like, all you gotta do is pull these people, like, and see and test it and see what happens. You know what I mean? Like, the ideas are the cheapest commodity on the block. And so what oftentimes, like, people run up against this wall where the action and also the vulnerability that comes with the process of failing or succeeding or failing or in it like circles back. That's the part where we have to get clear on, like, it doesn't mean shit unless you test it. Mm-hmm. And if you test it, then you will see if the idea function, it can function in the real world. And if it functions in the real world, you circle back from who you organize and the people you have on your team, whether it's Lisa, whether it's whoever, and you circle back to it, and it keeps building quantitatively in the process. But the first phase is, hey, I have an idea. Mm-hmm. You know, oftentimes you'll see mugs outside, like, have ideas, and then it becomes individuals who just want to operate individually and think mm-hmm. their ideas aren't to mean anything. You know, mm-hmm. at some point you got to get past that, test it. And then once you create the conditions that, okay, now we have something here, it can grow organically by the mass of the people who are engaged in the organization. Mm-hmm. Thus, even mm-hmm. the name. Remember, it was like Mothers in Arms, yeah. the mass yeah. of yeah. people. Then it were like, nah. And then, okay, right. go back. And you're like, well, what can it be? Motherful, that's fire.
Right.
And now it was able to, people were able to come into the organization, say, motherful.
Yeah,
now
right.
Now there's content. Now I got your buttons over here. You know what I'm
Believe.
Saying? You know, so that's the process. And it's a glorious process. I love it. You know, watching it develop. So, yeah. But yeah, I definitely
Thank
remember.
You.
I definitely.
Yeah, I would definitely say that you empowered me that day, and you gave me such a spark that I was, I think it's really like one of the major, I don't know, like catalysts for yeah. us, for me in birthing mm-hmm. Motherful. And I know Lisa has like a story of how you've supported her too.
Yeah, just your, when you walk into a room, like Wu-Tang was just here last night, like just that feeling of like, cow. Like, that's how I feel like around you, like it's going to get done. And, mm-hmm. you know, you really supported me in finding my voice, my powerful voice to be bold and, you know, take what's mine because it's already mine and go into these rooms and just like lay it out raw.
Yeah. Because no one
yeah.
cares. Like, we got to get past that.
Yeah.
No one cares. Like, you got to get over yourself. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the people are like the thing when you organize people and you're vulnerable all the time, you quickly understand that no one cares. It's a question of you. And like, why do you care? What are social conditions that are pushing you back? You know, the opposition or the colonizer does not have that problem. So the question is, why do we have that problem? Why do we operate in a way that like we have to hinder our boldness and power? It makes zero mm-hmm. sense to me. Because last time I checked, the
Afro-revolution
yes. sparked all of this. So why are we sitting here pretending that we don't have power? Last time I checked, Toussaint Louverture led the revolution in Haiti. Assad al-Kor led revolution in the States. I mean, there's so many examples. Harriet Tubman, Ella Baker. We can go down the line. You think they were sitting there like, maybe that's too bold. They didn't have time to think of that because their conditions were calling them to leave. So why the hell? Yeah. Are we over here questioning what we can do?
Yeah,
that's
right.
That part. So you have to push the people, either it's Lisa or whomever, like, who cares? Because literally they said to us long time ago, I think with Asada said, only thing we can lose is our chains.
Mm-hmm.
It's that mm-hmm. basic. It's like,
right.
what are you going to lose? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
How far are you willing to go? How bad do you want it? How what is driving you? Where do you fit into this thing of ours? Like, where do you fit in the overall legacy mm-hmm. of struggle? That's the job yeah. of organizers to push that part. And
yeah.
You know, all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. We just want to give you your flowers today because of how you've yes. influenced, how you've impacted our lives and our organizing. I mean, we're 5 years in now, Aramis. We are yeah. 5 years in.
And most people don't last that long.
Most people don't last that long. I mean, we've certainly had yeah. our downs and our ups, and we're celebrating December 17th. I think this episode will be out before then. So if anybody is listening, please come to our celebration at Seventh Son on December 17th. It's going to be a party, a birthday party. And we want yeah. you there, Aramis. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to, we also just kind of wanted to let you stretch out today and share about, how you came into organizing work. Mm-hmm. I know we had some questions that we sent you, but we'll probably be organic. But I wanted to, like, from the earliest point, I know you shared when we talked yesterday a little bit about your mom. And I would love to hear mm-hmm. about your mom's shaping of you and even your dad, if you want to share. But we of course, because we're talking about when mothers lead, we want to know mm-hmm. how your mom's leadership has impacted you. And I know you had a couple stories to share about that.
The thing about my mother is that she has amazing instincts. And I don't know where it comes from. But, you know, there are stories we share with each other that she totally forgets about. You know what I'm saying? And, like, how it impacted me, like, little nuances. Like, and so she doesn't even know she did it. But there's this particular, like, so I remember, like, being a really, really little kid, like extremely third grade, and she didn't know this impacted me more than anything. So when we were young, my mother would go to, you know, the library and get, like, VHS tapes, you heard, and, like, sit us down and, like, let us watch, like, these VHS tapes, and some were documentaries, some were, one was about pregnancy mm-hmm. before, like, I remember that. But there was this one particular one. It was named, it was four VHS tapes, and it was called Eyes on the Prize. And then the first tape is about 53, you know, going into the civil rights struggle in the South. Mm-hmm. You got King, you got, you know, the top guys, you know, it was amazing. But then there was this fourth tape where I remember putting it in and then watching, like, the beginning of recapping the last couple. And then I will never forget seeing these African people in berets, black berets, and leather jackets, like, lined up with these flags. I remember I'm little, so I have no idea what this shit is. But watching them, and it was like, see them, right? And I could see it to this day. And hearing them say, "Black is beautiful, free Huey." And I didn't know what they were talking about. I had no idea, but it was badass to me. I'm like, who the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, and watching, like, the at the time, I'm thinking of this kid, like, at the time watching African people walk up the steps of the State House and, like, with guns and, like, you know, the passion in their voices and the afros and just, like, you know, just seeing it, you know what I mean? Like, and watching them in the community with their offices and they're smoking cigarettes and chilling and talking, you know, and seeing Huey in jail and how I didn't know what he was saying, but whatever he was saying, you know what I'm saying? Like, hit me to the core. I remember seeing Angela Davis in the film, smoking a cigarette in jail. It was, like, blue. It was, you know what I mean? Like, I remember vividly. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of the path where I circle back to all the time. Mm-hmm. Because that was my mom's. My mother, my first book report my mother gave me to do in school was Harriet Tubman. And so I remember reading, that's my first book I ever read. You know what I mean? And then all the way through my studies, you know, and it was, she instilled, she cared so much. And she really was like just being a good mom. And like anything I was interested in, she would do it 10 times. Like, you know, it could be basketball, it could be guitar, it could be hip hop, it could be whatever. She's helping me figure it out. And so once I got to the academy, I was on probation and I couldn't drive, you know how it is. And so I was in my courses and I met my professor, and she was driving me to the community to be with my professor. That was on probation. Her and my father, they were like, something going on with him because he wouldn't need to go over there, but something's over there about Africa. You know what I mean? And
like, what grade was this?
No, I was in undergrad. So that was in
grade. Okay.
And so like, I'm in college now. And so like, they're still coming to pick me up.
Got
it. My mom's and my father, I would go to their house, boom, I'm on probation, and they would drive me to the detention center, drop me off, and I'll be there with my professor and all the people that were doing the Africa stuff. And why I'm saying that is because they would tell me, we didn't know what was going on with you, but we knew we had to get you there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All you talk about was materialism and Africa, blah, 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 and we didn't know what you're talking about, but we knew you had to get you. You know what I'm saying? So like the support of my moms and my father like transcends. I mean, like it is, when you get older and you step back and think about the sacrifices they had to make, especially during the time, you're like, my God, like I'm lucky. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And they understand your path and everything.
Yeah, something like something. It was something that they just knew.
Yeah.
Her and my mother, I mean, him and my mother knew we had to get him there. Whatever's over there, he's going to take it. You know, you know, and that's kind of like how my mom's really impacted me. I mean, she doesn't really care. She just knows I'm safe and doing what I need to do. But you know, she came to her first demonstration a couple of weeks back with Taika Young, and they never seen the work. So like, imagine seeing your family there, your parents, and you've been doing it for a decade and they're there. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like,
wow.
They saw the community. They saw like what I always talk about. And they're like, Miss Cara was like, someone's coming out, Miss Cara, Carla, and I get into PJP mode. I'm like, so I even told him before we left, I was like, when you see me, this is how the people see me. So I have to do this. You know what I mean? I'm your son here, but over there, you know, certain things. So boom. So we're there, Miss Carla's getting antagonized by reactionary force. And I step in like, you better pull back because all her sons are here. You touch her, like we're ready to go. You know what I mean? Right now. And so to watch my mother have a sign and do a little march, and then now she's with the sign and she's all over the internet, and my dad, you know, he's there. My dad was a preacher guy, so he's doing all the, go on ahead. And I'm looking like, my dad's that guy. Oh my God. It's like, he's that dude at the protest, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And to watch them be there and see the, not only the community, but also what their son does.
Yeah.
And I'm explaining them to them what's actually happening in the background. Like, you have no idea the security here. No, I'm talking to people on my text. You know, you don't know that we saw the guy coming 10 minutes before. We know where the cops are. So they don't know all these things. And I said to him, I was like, Dad, like, Mom, like, you know, we have to, you're a community member. Our job is to make sure you're safe. And our job is also the next step. I'm not thinking about this part. I'm thinking about the next phase, you know? And so, but that was glorious for them to see that, you know what I mean? And it was interesting. I felt like a kid again, cause I was like, it was my mom's, y'all. It was like, oh, that's your son. You know that, your house sisters be like, oh, he's such a good boy. Young, great young. He is leading the community. He should be so proud. You know, and watch they face, you know, I've never experienced such a fulfilled moment.
Like,
did all right. Like, this is what we do. You know what I mean?
Wow. That's awesome. So glad they made it.
Yeah. I mean, and they were at the house. So like, they're here. And so like, just watch my mom's reaction to Sister Young being murdered and watch my family, I'm like, mm-hmm. y'all want to come? They were like,
yeah.
You know, he's like, of course. So I want to be yeah. there. Because that was a safe one. Because back in the day, it wasn't safe for them. You know what I mean? It's a little bit yeah. different than it used to be. Like, remember back in the day when they would have the pigs roll up on you and, mm-hmm. you know, and I would never let it come. Like, you know, no. Because someone tells my yeah. mother, rap for you. Like, it's literally, like, mm-hmm. I get chills thinking about what
yeah. I would do. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Yeah.
That's my mom's thing.
Beautiful. Yeah, we love her. We love her too. Thanks to your mom. Give thanks for your parents and
yes, thank you.
Their amazing yeah. education. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's oftentimes I like sit back and I'll watch like I'm a historian, you know, I'm a historian. So I'm thinking about the time period. I'm thinking about what they would do. And I'm like, I don't care about nobody that you understand? Mm-hmm. To be able to sacrifice and make decisions as a married couple and then make decisions mm-hmm. and you know invest so much in the hope that your children, your child or that's a sister, I have a sister that will mm-hmm. at least make it through, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And to watch, to know that damn like you did the damn thing. I remember buying my mother groceries for the first time. Like, yo, Ma, this is for, sorry for when I was 16, I'm buying you some groceries. I'm sorry, I pay that. You know what I mean? Like, it was like a forgiveness period. Like, ooh, I got the money for it, Ma. That one time when I got arrested. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, I didn't mean to put you through that, you know?
Yeah.
Stood by us, me in particular.
Well, I wonder if they realized they were raising a revolutionary.
No, they had no fucking idea. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
They would tell you. I had no idea. My mother told me recently, she said, I had no idea you'd be so into history. If you would have told me that you would, you know, read books yeah. you know, and or like be who you became, I would have never known. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
It was already instilled in you. Mm-hmm. Those type of determination and those type of things, I honestly feel that like it's just who you are and you just have mm-hmm. to find the niche to get there. And without mm-hmm. them, I don't know if I would have found it. You know what I'm saying? But like it's mm-hmm. in you. It's in us who are like mm-hmm. like myself. I'm around them all the time. So we're all the same mm-hmm. person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In national spaces, like we all are the same person. You just have to find them.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah. So. Well, I have a question for you that you probably haven't been asked before, because I know you and I had the like honor of officiating your wedding, and aww. Now you're a dad now, and I'm curious about your thoughts on caregiving. Because I know that you're a primary caregiver now in a lot of ways for your son, Marky. And I was wondering if you could share like how caregiving has like impacted your work and like how you view caregiving now, because obviously we are, you know, invested in revolutionizing care and yeah. maternal justice and care justice in our work. Right. So.
Plus, you don't sleep, so.
So it wasn't hard. I mean, you know, remember that one time I texted you, Hadi? Like, I have respect, full respect for stay-at-home mothers. Like, I was like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? But, like, to be very transparent, it wasn't hard. It wasn't a choice. It was like, this is what I'm gonna do. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I don't do a lot of thinking through it. You know what I mean? It was more so. Remember, people talk about balance, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It was really like committing to, okay, y'all are in the house with me. Mark's here. I'm mm-hmm. the only one here that has goddamn sense. So this is, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
What we're not going to do is interrupt what we're doing as an organization. You know what I'm saying? So now yeah. all of y'all are by de facto PJP. You know what I'm saying? So like, so I mean, it was really like, and so you got comfortable with you know, the morning routine. I'm a routine guy. So like, okay, I feed you. You get the great, man, when I realized what cereal they were eating, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not giving this kid this type of calories and sugar every day. Are you crazy? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then you tap in. You're like, man, I can cook now. So I'm making eggs, you know, the joints. You know what I'm saying? I eat breakfast. You go eat breakfast. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I structure. So like Mark has his things. And so you have to just get to learn him. Mm-hmm. But also, I'm mm-hmm. really good with young kids, so it's not hard for me to tap there. Mm-hmm. But it really didn't necessarily sacrifice the work. I mean, like, when COVID was over, like, I don't know how many times Mark went to meetings. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, we both were running out, and he just knew, like, okay, I'm with B, and we're in the meeting, and everyone knows Mark. And so, like, he would come on calls, and he'll peek his head and say hi to everybody. I mean, it was me accepting that you have to invest. It's not difficult to make this decision to invest in young people when they have no idea how to function. Does it make sense? It's like, mm-hmm. Mark is special needs. So like, you have to see him, you have to know what mm-hmm. he's doing, you have to be hyper aware. And right. And then just be just a good person. You know what I mean? Like, just, mm-hmm. you know, and be, honestly,
compassionate.
Yeah, compassionate. Like, and honestly, it's not that deep. Like you know, it's like, you know, he had his moments, and like, so what? He broke something, and but there's not. They're not used to the calmness of me, because they're used to like, oh my god, he broke something. I'm like, he breaks TVs. Stop pissing them off. You know what I'm saying? Like, come here, Mark. Good. You know, yes. Okay, we're done. We can buy another TV. Like, it's not a big deal. And so I don't respond to his behavior because I've been trained as a teacher. So it's like, he's going to do things, mm-hmm. you know, you have to have structure. You have to see him. You have to hear what he's saying. You have to be able to understand what he needs. And mm-hmm. so, as opposed to raising your voice, he responds to it, you know, it's not, I'm just calm about it. I don't take it that deep. It's like, man, he's hungry. If you don't want to eat, you don't want to eat. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to force it down his throat. Like, he had an episode, what, a couple weeks ago when he passed out and, like, popped in and, like, took care of everything, called 911, boom, took him to the hospital, boom, he's fine, right? And my position was, like, he just passed out, you know, but everyone else, seeing, like, it's grandiose thing, but I've seen kids pass out. And so mm-hmm. it's like, okay, we put him in the hospital, he's going to do the CAT scans, nothing wrong with him, he just passed out. So, right. You know what I mean? And so he's running around doing the regular thing. But he does he does come to me first for everything. I guarantee you, if something happens, he's in my room.
That's amazing. That's hard for moms to be that, you know, just not like adding in your emotions and just being calm all the time. That takes skill. That
takes skill. Like, but I
it's
think
a dad thing.
Yeah, and that's probably what it is. Like nigga, you're fine. Like you're you will survive. Yeah. Did he die? You know what I mean? Like, he bit his hand or he tripped. Okay, did he die though? He's fine.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's not like, you know, I'm not saying like, you know, I like when he falls. Boom, 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 boom. You can differentiate the falls.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was like, oh, and it was like, you good? We good. All right. And rap. But like a certain fall is like, boom, 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 boom. It's like, okay, are you running up taking a fall down the stairs? Are you good? Yeah. Oh, that's just my kettlebell falling down the stairs.
Okay.
So it's really about like what I did, because I know you're going to pick up that kettlebell because you see me working out with it. So you're going to try and swing it. So I gotta like fix that part, you know what I mean? So it's a learning process, of course, but to answer your question, it wasn't that difficult. There are moments where I'm like, oh my God, Mark. But then you're like, have a seat, have a call. Like right now, I'm on a podcast. Can you be a good boy? Yes. He's on the couch sitting there with the side pocket. And once on the door, he knows, oh, he's free. You know what I mean? Like,
so you find a good balance with it, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah. it doesn't hinder my development in the organization. Like, that's always primary. So it's like, if that's primary, you have to be able to understand about yourself. Mm-hmm. And make a decision and say, like, well, I know I'm not going to do this, so you're just coming with me. I have to lead. I have to do these things. And this is uniquely me. So you have none of the children in the house have any clue. However, because it's a primary thing of mine, you're just coming along for the ride. There's no sacrifice. It's like, you're coming. Well, I have a dentist appointment. Well, we're going to go to the meeting, and then you're going to go to the dentist appointment. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have a call. I have to make sure this happens. Schedule it. Mm-hmm. Long day. Well, guess what? Tough luck.
You know, boundaries.
Next day. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not going to happen ever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's been It's been really cool to see you as a dad, to see you become a dad and be a dad.
And honestly, I'm proud of all of them. Like, you know, the kids got their cars and that's a new phase, because like, now I'm like worried because like, they have these sweet like muscle cars, and you're like, oh my god, I'm a car guy. So I'm like, they really like this stuff. And then so now you have a good sense of what fathers feel about their sons being black and being in cars. And you're like, okay, well, we're just gonna see what happens when it happens. You know what I mean? Like, I can't stop it. You know, and you're watching them like be responsible and like doing paying bills. That phase, or like when you have little girlfriends, that is the craziest. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that part, like, I will, that alone is enough for me. You know, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, oh, you like it? We really like it? Like, one time, Dorian like wanted to buy his girlfriend flowers, right? And he comes up to me. And I didn't know what was going on. I'm just sitting there. He gives me a phone. Like, how do I do this? He showed me these bouquets. I'm like, oh. One right there. I'm like, yo, come here. I was like, yo, how much do you like? He was like, probably like, okay, look. And I'm scrolling through it. Never go wrong with that one. And then he was like, okay, so what do I do? We ship it over there. Boom, boom, boom. Let's go get some, like, you know, things and stuff. And it was like, and I said to him, I was like, yo, do you have a hoodie? He was like, yeah, I have a hoodie. Which one are you willing to sacrifice for? He's like, what's one? I'm like, nah, that's too, get that one right there. Boom. Folded it up. Put your snow good on it. All right, boom. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're good, bro. Those things.
I love it.
That stuff gives me so much.
Like, it's like,
oh,
yeah. Such a sweet daddy.
How do I do this? Oh, the question. Hair.
Wow.
But it's just very like fun. I enjoy it. Anyway, I can go all day. So let's change something.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I think we're getting some prime moments, some prime Aramis moments here.
Yeah. What's up with PJP? What are you guys doing currently? And how can everyone that's listening support?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, subscribe, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, the whole John. It's just a glorious phase of PJP. I'm just proud of the team. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one thing. Like, remember you talking earlier about vision and like and ideas and then like the process of it all? Like, I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy the practice. I enjoy like waking up and like getting to it. You know what I mean? And studying, like really trying to break down these things and concepts, whatever. And then when you are vulnerable and honest with folks, like they come in and you give them, you provide the, I don't care what you do. This is the fundamentals. You are talented. Go. You know what I'm saying? My only role is to manage it and make sure you're good. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that you can be the most powerful leader. That's from operations, that's from comms, that's from organizing, that's from the bases. It's like when you watch people believe in something, that is a symbol, like the logo and or the history of the organization, and watch them, you know, own it. Yeah, you never get tired of the we part, it's that cause. You never get tired of the questions. You know what I mean? Like, how do we make this better? You never get tired of that. So where we are right now is just a fundamental, glorious development where we are exactly where we need to be. With our state partners, our national partners, like, you know, it's just, you put in so much work, so much struggle. And answering questions of like what happened in past times or examining conditions. And then you watch people come in. Like the wild thing, Heidi, I'll tell you this, and Lisa, is when you watch leaders do a training that you created and they're saying your words. And you're like, you have no idea I wrote that. With a long beard, with a vodka bottle next to me, like the books everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, or like Reese cups, like just down and stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have no idea that like I was sitting at a table with like cigarettes and butts everywhere, and like just writing that, and you are reading it, and you're able to take the pieces of study and then. And then make it your own and say it out loud in your own experiences. That part I was not prepared for. And so it's really about like making sure that we're doing what makes sense with the bases and the masses that we're with, as opposed to coercing people into things. Like, I am so intentional about that, you know. Who are our partners? Who do we work with? Like, who do we talk to? Like who is who? And then watching them assess it by themselves and say, you're right, they're like this, or we should close ranks now. You know what I mean? Discipline indeed as well. Like, we had a staff call yesterday and I'm emphasizing discipline and what it looks like. And I said to them, like, I don't expect you or anybody on staff to be as disciplined as I am, you know? However, people in our ecosystem and people in the state and national see us a certain way. We have to show up that way, you know, and everyone on team, on the squad is that, period, or you wouldn't be here. You know what I'm saying? So you own that. You, like, one of our leaders said, staff said something about turnout. And I said to the bull, I was like, look, you're a 40 to 30 turnout person. Don't ever take that away. Like, don't say 10 or 5. I've seen you turn out 40, 50, you know, own that. You need to walk, because people in spaces see you that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, they will see you as the organization, also individually, you were able to move masses of people. So when you say a number that doesn't match what the material world sees, what are you actually thinking in your head about your own leadership? Because I know what you can do. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't be here. Not saying that, you know, I see you. Don't think that you are less than who you really are. You're pushing that forward, you know.
Constantly encouraging, empowering.
Yeah, owning it. Yeah. It's like, please. Like,
yeah.
I see you. You know what I mean?
True leader.
Yeah. So I'm curious about your thoughts on Motherful at our fifth birthday. Like, just to give you a little update in case you're not, you know, following us super closely, you know, we are on the precipice of some big developments that are really exciting for us. You know, we have probably around 500 members now in our collective. And, you know, we've touched over 500, you know, single mother families who have agreed to our membership, and we're feeding 75, we're feeding 75 families a week. You know, we are, we're giving cash to moms,
cash,
helping them, you know, over $100,000 in the past 4 years. It's probably more than that now. we just started a micro lending program. So one of our donors seeded that for us. And so we were able to give moms who are in the collective for over a year, a 0% interest loan. And we, you know, we have our emergency fund grants. So we're really creating like this, like micro economy, that's an alternative economy for our members. And we are working, we just submitted a grant yesterday on a collaborative effort with another nonprofit in town to build out one of our social enterprise ideas, which is a meal preparation, like a prepared meal service that would give moms prepared meals because they don't have time, right?
Yeah, they don't have time.
They're working 2 to 3 jobs, you know, single moms are really struggle with that. And also the food costs are so expensive. So we're working on that.
Yeah.
And then also we're developing.
We're juicing.
We have all kinds of little offshoot projects, and we're also working on a housing project, a housing development with a partner. It hasn't, it's not in the contract phase yet, but that's what we're developing, and hopefully we'll break ground in 2025 if everything goes well. So, you know, we have a lot of things happening, and I'm actually going to DC next week with Moms Rising. I'm an Ohio delegate for the organization Moms Rising. We're going to the White House to advocate for moms. And, you know, I'm really excited about that. So I'm just, you know, curious about, like, what you see. What's your vision for Motherful, you know, and what do you see? and what kind of ideas do you have for us or encouragement?
Give us some ideas.
Just saying,
boost us.
I need to catch it. I'm slowing down. The hell? No, that is courageous work. And
yeah, thank you.
I want to go back to the first question. You know, you have to believe, like, you gotta go hard, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you gotta go no matter what trials and tribulations are in front of you, because the struggle is beautiful, but the struggle, no one said the struggle is easy.
No,
those who decide to take a risk and do the things and like what that takes, I mean, that's a different type of person.
On the ground,
doing it. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I have to do it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I don't get it. I don't know where I'm going, but like, this is fire to me. And like, I gotta go, you know? And so you must commend your own leadership, your own vision, all three of y'all, two of y'all, whatever's in the crew. And because that need, even with, I was in a BN recently where they were talking about needs and things. It was like, why aren't y'all hit on Motherful? They were like, oh, we didn't think about that. Why haven't y'all thought about that? You know? And like, but then I'm realizing, oh, I'm the only person that knows Motherful in this group. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So how do we, what's that word that the new intellectuals always say? Intersections? Like, how do we use it?
Yeah.
You know, of the struggle. Because I think we have to be more intentional about like who's in the ecosystem. You know, we're in like PJP and other orgs are like in the political arena. We're thinking about that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And then we're not thinking about when we organize people who are coming into organization, who are through the ground and need basic things, they ask for things. Because there's a new culture. But this is another thing I found is that there's a new culture now. Where there is a thing called mutual aid, there's a thing about like providing needs. Like when we came into the game, that didn't exist. It was like we're catching bodies, we're building power, we're taking demand, like all that capitalism, you know what I mean? All that fire. It was like catching bodies. There was never a thought of like helping people. You know what I mean? Like, and so I think now the culture has shifted. It's not just only in the city, it's just in the state and also national, where we have to begin to think about how do we plug in those who are in organization, who fight for these things, who struggle for these things, and how do we move them to the other
direct
like,
services,
Motherful, like why isn't that a flow? Like why isn't that? And I think in time, I think we're getting there because I think we're all Motherful, PJP, other orgs included. Like we're getting to the phase. We're closing in and staying in more relationships where it's like, okay, now we have who's really who's really in community with us, who can really throw down outside of the political arena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we You know, and we definitely want to bring mothers into the political arena. You know, that is one of our goals too, is to empower mothers to lead. And that's what this podcast is about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This podcast is about yes, it's about when mothers lead, what will the world look like? And I think we're working on, you know, if moms can't eat, if moms can't take care of their children, they are going to have a harder time getting active in the political arena, right? And like yeah. going out to protest if they don't feel safe, or if they don't have anyone to watch their children, or they can't
or
bring their kids
their
with
clothes.
Them. Or wash their clothes.
Them.
You know, mm-hmm. so we are a mutual aid organization, and we focused on that because we know how disenfranchised single mothers are, especially Black and Indigenous and mothers of color. You know, we know how disenfranchised they are, the working class single moms, you know, poor single moms. And so we know that if they're eating, if they're housed, mm-hmm. if their children are safe, then they can also be empowered
to step out, mm-hmm.
to lead, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're already leading their families. You know, they already are leaders. That's our, you know, philosophy and stance. And the, you know, I'm curious about your thoughts, and this is kind of our final question of our podcast. Mm-hmm. At every episode, we ask
everyone,
our guest, like, what will the world look like when the mothers lead? Like, what do you see?
What do you see?
It is not, I never thought about the mother part to this till you guys came around, about like how most dynamic leaders in struggle are mothers and women mm-hmm. who like yeah. we admire, like, and so like I examine that piece a lot. I remember like, you know, telling someone like, look, 80% of the struggle, if you go into any of these rooms where I'm at, my dad was even surprised when I said this. It was like, when I go in these rooms, there's no brothers there. It is mostly sisters, trans, mm-hmm. queer, or just regular straight sisters from the neighborhood. You know what I mean? Just who are just badass. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
like Dawn and Chelsea, people who I really look up to in international spaces, people in Chicago, mm-hmm. like, they're all women. So like, don't ever yeah. get used that in the real world, it is women who have children who are in the rooms with PJP. And so mm-hmm. I don't know what it looks like, but I know they're leading anyway. You know what I mean? Like, it's no, like, it's like, it's not a concept that I don't see. It's like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like, it's happening.
Everywhere I go, Pauls, everywhere I go, whether it's Chicago, it doesn't mean anywhere. It is majority women sitting in those chairs who are running their cities. I'm talking like, not just like on some like basic shit. I'm talking like, you come into North Carolina, you got to talk to Dawn. You know what I mean? You can't mm-hmm. come, you can't come into the state without hollering at Dawn. You deal with people in Virginia with mm-hmm. marijuana stuff, you gotta talk to Chelsea, full stop. You know, and then you go to LA, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? You gotta talk to people. So you can't, so in my actual real reality of the work that we do.
Mothers are already leading.
They're already yeah. there. It's like, it's not confusing.
Yeah.
It's like, and but the right. arrogance, if you're arrogant and you're ignorant, you will think that like, there's brothers doing it. It's like, nah. Like that is what the bourgeoisie media pushes out you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The so-called Negro leader, you know what I mean? The so-called petty bourgeoisie leader, you know, who has credentials. The rooms I'm in, these people have credentials, but they're solid in the struggle for the people, you know, and they all have children, you know. And that's just my own perspective of saying that, like, I am, like, more than aware that I have to follow leadership of the sisters, period. Like, and I give you so like recent, this is like, I'm just a sidebar, like recently, this has actually happened. Like, we are in Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the national people, and we're in the building, and these so-called trainers come in, and you could smell the bitching. You know what I mean? You were like, uh-oh. Because they didn't know they walked in the room of the revolution. So like, they walked in, and they're doing their training or whatever. And then the sisters are in there. It's like me and everyone in with Sophia. And they're on the back talking to me. And I'm talking to them. And they're like, this is bullshit. And then there was a pushback were from one of the comrades, Chelsea. She's like pushed back on trainers. And he kind of dismissed her. And I've been black all my life. And don't dismiss sisters. And then like they're gonna close ranks. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you just fucked up, bro. Like, and so long story short, it got to a point when it got to critical mass where they started dismissing Alicia, who was in Chicago, who's doing dope work. And then she started crying, and then, oh, it went down. And so as soon as the sisters closed ranks, I'm talking, they went in on dude. And all the trainers, and mind you, they run their cities. So, like, they're coming in like that. You know, I run my shit. Like, the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, and as that's going, one of the comrades, Brittany, texted me because they said something about history. Said, get him. I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to. Yo, get him. You know what I'm saying? All right. And I'm like, no, let's properly understand. You know what I mean? I started going off. And I basically said, to disrespect the people in this room shows you don't understand who's in the room. You know, right there is Chelsea. Essentially, she's Ella Baker. Right there is Dawn. She's essentially a side school. Right there was so-and-so. She's, you know, I went down a line of sisters that I knew off top. Mm-hmm. I was like, right. who they represent. And it's like, so before you come in here, know that we are a direct lineage of these same people. And so that means that you have to respect, because our forefathers, foremothers are those same people. And once that was said, they stopped the training, and we all went back to the hotel, and now people are looking for new jobs. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like that. It was like, don't disrespect the sisters, and what happens is that African people will close rank immediately. And then if you're a brother, you know that, like, and you know what I'm saying? All their brothers are in the room. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, we run our cities too. Mm-hmm. Our donors are fine with us beating your ass. You know what I'm saying? Right here. You know what I'm saying? We're good. You know what I'm saying? So we can do it right now. And we got bail fund. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
And we have a bail fund.
And understanding where you're in. So all that to say, in these spaces I'm in, the women, the sisters, the mothers run it.
Mm.
The struggle and where we are with PJP is ran by sisters, people.
Nice.
You're not seeing love on television, it. But that's who you got to talk to.
And mic drop. Love it.
Yeah, bam. I'm not even playing. Like, you know where you at. Like, you know where it's going on. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's encouraging. Thank you so much, Aramis, for joining us today. We love you. We support you. Everybody go check out ohiopjp.org.
Thank
Is that
you.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
And it's People's Justice on Instagram, correct?
Yeah.
So at People's Justice and support. I know October is a big month. This will probably come out after October, but check out what they've been up to, building power. And we love you, Aramis. Thank you for all of your leadership and support and mentorship of us.
No, thank you.
We love you.
Thank you for inviting us to this discussion.
Yes.
Forever forward, unafraid together.
Forever forward, unafraid together.
Yes.
Together. Mm-hmm.
I see the mothers marching. I hear the mothers singing. I feel the mothers grieving. I see the mothers leading. I hear the mothers shouting. I see the mothers dancing. I feel the mothers healing. I see the mothers.